Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, in the Green Scene today, the UN International Day of Awareness of Food Loss and Waste. But first, bestowing legal personhood on non-human animals and environmental entities. My goodness. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So the waves may have a legal status.
Yeah, they do. And this is part of a broader movement called the Rights to Nature movement. And what this movement does is it attempts to create legal recognition for ecosystems and for non-human animals. And if you follow through this law, ecosystems and these animals can kind of become their own entities with their own kind of agency and rights.
But they do need a human defender to invoke those rights.
They do need a human defender. And one of the things that's different around things like, for example, national parks or environmental laws, where we might regulate how much, you know, pollution you can put into the environment, is that in really every country in the world, the environment and non-humans are property. That's what they are. Yeah. Either they're the property of the government or of somebody. So this shifts this balance where this entity has an individual right to exist. And as you said, it can be persons or non-human persons, or it can be environmental places. But people do need to take legal action on behalf of that person, as they do sometimes for other humans who are not able to take action for themselves, perhaps children or people. But I mean, the one that we're talking about today is in a place called Linhares in Brazil. And this is the first time a part of the ocean has been given legal sort of recognition as being its own entity. It's called legal personhood, but I think obviously we're not talking about a person, but that is the way we describe it in law, because our laws are all based on the fact that really it is only people who have rights.
And what is the challenge in this area?
So the challenge is it's the mouth of the Doce River here, where it meets the Atlantic, and it creates these beautiful waves which are surfed on. And one of the challenges here, that there was a dam that broke that did a huge amount of damage to this area. It killed people, homes were flooded, and lots of toxins and plastics got into the water. So a group of local residents got together, and they were the ones that pushed for this recognition. And what it does is it grants the waves at the mouth of this river an inherent right to exist, a right to continue to form naturally, to remain clean and to be restored. And it requires the city of Linhares to protect the physical shape of the river. So they can't change the course of the river in any way, because that impacts on the waves. And it requires them to protect the sea from pollution going into
it. But I presume there's a group behind this who are going to vindicate the rights.
There's a group of three guardians that have been assigned to watch over these waves. So that includes, you know, somebody who's a local indigenous community, somebody from this River Alliance, and someone from the city council. So they will now be responsible for taking any cases to court if the rights of this area conflict with any other rights.
Any other examples around the world of rights of nature laws?
Yep, this is a growing movement. So Ecuador was the first country way back in 2008. They actually put it into their constitution that you could have a right to nature law. New Zealand has also done this. They've done it for a river, a forest and a volcano. And some of the indigenous people in New Zealand and Tahiti and the Cook Islands have signed a treaty which recognises the right to personhood of whales and dolphins. Again, it won't surprise you, there's a big movement around great apes being granted some level of personhood. And I think many of us can identify with why that would be the right thing to do. Because we can reflect back that not all humans had the right to personhood at one point in time. And you know, that was clearly wrong.
I mean, we don't have that in Ireland yet, do we?
We don't have it in Ireland yet, but it is a growing area. And it is different to things like national parks, because it gives this inherent right to exist.
You can imagine, though, someone going to the courts for an orangutan in Dublin Zoo, for example, and saying that guy should be free. And there would be an argument whether or not he was better off and better cared for in Dublin Zoo than he might as maybe domestically born if you shoved him back in the jungle.
And that is, I suppose, where this ends up. This ends up in front of a judge, and the judge has to weigh up all of those different things, as they will do in any other case that comes before them. Because it did happen. We spoke about those hippos that were released in Colombia, Pablo Escobar's hippos. Yeah. Somebody tried to get them legal personhood. They got it actually in a US court, but it never went anywhere because it wasn't enforceable in any meaningful way. So ultimately these things will end up for the courts to decide.
Now, our other topic is the UN's International Day of Awareness of Food Loss and Waste and what to do about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's many of these days, and this one takes place this Friday. But one of, you know, we've talked a lot about food waste. We know about a third of our food is wasted, which is, you know, a hugely big issue. It's responsible for nearly 10% of the greenhouse gas emissions. But one thing we might not think of doing, Pat, is upcycling our food waste. But that is exactly what a researcher who's based in Stanford has done. Dr. Vayu Hill Miney comes from a chef's background, but he's also a researcher, and he's looked into using funguses to upcycle food waste. So he discovered this fungus called Neurospora intermedia, and this fungus can grow on lots of different kinds of foods, and it doesn't produce any toxins critically. So it changes the food that it is put on, but it's still safe to eat. But
how does it taste?
Well, this is the interesting thing. This researcher spent residencies in some of the top Michelin-starred restaurants in the world. So he was at a restaurant called Blue Hill at Stone Barns, New York, and he went to Alchemist in Copenhagen. And he worked with them using this fungus to transform foods from one thing into the other. And it has turned out that you can make food incredibly delicious using this fungus. When I say he discovered it, he identified that it could be used more widely. It was used in Indonesia for many years to make a sort of sponge cake-like food from soy milk production, from the waste products of soy milk. So it wasn't that it was never done before. But what they're doing now is they're using it on a wide range of food waste products. So things like stale bread, you can use that to turn it into something that would taste like a delicious toasted cheese sandwich. You can use things like tomato pulp and skins. You can use banana peels. And as he said, it transforms trash into treasure. So this is a whole new area where we might be taking all that food waste and transforming it into delicious, nutritious food.
I remember when I was a kid, there was a guy who raised pigs locally. And he got the pig got the slops, and I'm sure there was lots of funguses hanging out of that. And the pigs got fatter and fatter, and
there's lots of nutritional value in things like skins of fruit, you know, fibre and all that. Yeah. And if we can make
but
it palatable,
is this just something we know we can do? Whether or not it'll ever have widespread practical application.
I think this is one that could actually. Often we hear about research and it feels like it's decades in the future before we'll get to use it. But this is relatively simple. You can grow this fungus on waste products to get it, and then you can just put it for 36 hours on things like waste peel, and it'll turn it into something that is edible and delicious. So
your bread and butter pudding with mouldy bread.
Well, maybe it won't have gone too far, but certainly things like skins and waste that are going in the bin, and many of them are going into landfill, we could be able to transform. So it's a good news story, but often the food waste story is a bit of a glum vista.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.